alcohol basically interferes with the way your body makes energy. When you're breaking down alcohol, basically your liver doesn't produce as much glucose. Without being kind of overly technical, which means you end up having low blood sugar. Basically affects how you create your energy and how you perform. Coordination, right. Dexterity, things like that all gets affected by that.
Welcome to Forever Young, the health podcast from Lanzerhof. My name is Niels Behrens, and I'm not looking for eternal youth. I'm trying to find answers to what leading a healthy life really means. Therefore, I will be talking to various health experts to find out what you can do to stay fit for as long as possible. And who knows, perhaps this knowledge will help lead you to a longer life after all. Welcome to Forever Young. This is our second episode, this time with Jason Reynolds. Jason Reynolds is our chief sports scientist at Lanzerhof at the Art Club in London. At the moment, he is also training from home like everybody, and our followers on Instagram can watching him. But not only them, his giraffe Bert is always present when he is doing Pilates or other workouts. And yeah, welcome, Jason.
Thanks for having me, Niels. It's good. I'm looking forward to getting some more information out there. And it's been interesting going through these live classes, for sure.
Yeah, it's a new experience for sure. So especially because you can't see the audience.
Yeah, it definitely requires a slightly different way of teaching. Usually you obviously could be a little bit reactive to people's positions and their feedback. This is obviously a little bit less feedback, so you're trying to give information that covers a whole range of people's experience in terms of where they are positionally and also what they're feeling during the exercise. So I'm probably talking more than I normally do as well, really trying to cover all those bases as well. So it's been fun. It's a good lesson.
I have my first question. My first question is, why is it important to keep our bodies moving during this on certain times? Is it different than in normal times?
Yeah, I think obviously we're by government guidelines, we're a little bit penned into the idea of how much activity we're doing, especially if people are still working from home. What people do in their commute, what people might do walking around the office, going for lunch, and just in their general daily activity has been something that's people get into really usual habits. What we've done now is we're taking those habits and changing it. So people are becoming a lot more sedentary. People are doing many, many less steps per day. And generally, the amount of resistance training, the amount of resisted exercise in general has become less and less. And that's obviously a very important factor for while people are doing this home working, while we are a little bit resisted in what we're able to do. I think, being sedentary, there's lots of obviously health markers that come with that, but obesity, diabetes, high cholesterol, stuff like that comes from that lack of exercise. So it's important, for us to keep moving. Your heart ultimately is a muscle. So again, the less work it does, the weaker it becomes. So we want to keep it strong. But also, within our muscles, we have cells in our muscles called myokines, which are basically the cells that help us regulate our body function. So we have less muscle. We have less control of our bodily functions and our way our hormones function, things like that. So less muscle, we actually become more susceptible to getting viruses and infections. So we need to keep moving, we need to keep strong. That's really important during these times.
All right, thank you. Concerning the day, or let's say when you are in the home office, you are a little bit more flexible concerning your time, because normally you don't have so many meetings, normally you don't have a lunch break or something like that. So probably you are a little bit more flexible in choosing your time. So what would you recommend? When is the best time of the day to work out?
And again, you're completely right. People are more flexible now. It used to be, people, if they started work at a certain time or finished at a certain time, then they would be able to work out in the morning or in the evening or perhaps on their lunch breaks. And it'd be very, very regimented. Now we have a little bit more flexibility. And ultimately, that comes down to people's individual preferences. Some people are morning people. Some people want to stay in bed for as long as they can. So, that can be, there's no negative in that. You've got to find a time that works for you. Again, if you have a job that's physically demanding, if you're stressful during the day, then actually training in the evening after that might be quite limiting. You might find you get less out of it, but perhaps doing something more spiritual and something that more sort of stress relieving in the evening can be preferential as well. So it is very, very individual, and you just have to find what works for you. In terms of our physical performance and the way our body works, sometimes our body's circadian rhythms do influence our sporting performance. If you wanted to go and set a world record, or if you looked at all the history of when world records were set, for instance, they are set in the afternoons. They're not set in the morning. So generally, our bodies do take a little while to get up to a sort of a optimal function. But again, we're not all world class athletes. We're not all trying to set world records. We're just trying to work what's best for us. So I think that's important to trial and error a little bit as well, and try a morning class, try an evening class, try a run at a certain time, and see what makes you feel the best.
All right. I've learned that it is pretty hard to get any equipment now at the moment. So not only because the shops are closed, but also online prices for dumbbells are very high, or even they're pretty hard to get at the moment. Do you really need equipment, workout equipment for your training at home?
I mean, the short answer is no, you don't really need equipment. Having equipment helps, like it gives you more options, I think is a good way to describe it. But if you don't have equipment, your body weight and the items within someone's house are more than enough for you to continue training during this period. Obviously having increased amounts of weight can make more challenging things, but also doing more repetitions of body weight exercise can be your challenge as well. I think one of the preferences that I have as a trainer for people when they're doing bodyweight stuff is using that time and that bodyweight movement to actually increase what we call proprioception, and that's sort of the learning of how your body moves without any resistance. So being able to squat and keep your knee position perfect, being able to do arm movements overhead without your shoulders hunching, and actually learning and becoming really, really good at doing those movements is actually a good use of this time, I guess. So sometimes when people don't have, aren't training at home, they are going to a gym, you're automatically going to pick up weight, automatically going to do difficult things, because we want to work really, really hard. We always think that's the way to do it. As a trainer, more often than not, we're trying to slow people down than speed them up, because people always want to jump and end up running before they can walk. So, we're kind of as trainers trying to nudge people at this time to become great at controlling your movement. And that makes training easier as we go ahead.
I think it's very typical that the people are always a little bit overambitious. What would you say, how much physical activities do you recommend each week?
Look, I think as per the government regulations, get out the house and be active every day. Don't, if you have a day where you don't leave your house for 24 hours, that's not a good thing. Unless you live in a palace where you're walking 10,000 steps from the East Wing to the West Wing, then realistically you've got to get out. And that doesn't always necessarily mean you have to do something physically demanding. It can be just going out for a walk, taking your hour and getting a good paced walk in. Go find a park, find somewhere obviously where you're social distancing, you're keeping safe, but go and explore a little bit. If you have any woodland areas near you, I'm lucky enough to live near Hampstead Heath, and that's what I do. I go to the heath, I spend half an hour, 40 minutes walking around. It's pretty empty, it's great, it's fantastic. In fact, actually sometimes I try and take golf balls up there and hit them around when it's really empty. Again, it keeps me active. And that's you're finding something that gives you a bit of joy and a bit of outside time. But that's something you can do every day. In terms of training, that's something that, again, is still a little bit individual. Look at what you did previously. If you trained, at the gym 3 times a week, then you've got to be doing at least 3 times a week at home. In fact, probably because you don't have resistance, you don't need as much recovery time. So you can go 4 times. You might even be able to go 5 times if they're short classes or not too challenging. But I think ultimately you've got to learn about recovery as well. Usually as a trainer, if people are sore, I can direct them towards doing cryotherapy treatments, for instance, or massage, or anything that might help them recover. If you don't have those options anymore, it will be about what you have at home to recover. So it is about feeling it. If you walk around and you feel sore, it's okay, it's good, you worked hard, but maybe allow yourself a day to recover. Just take a walk that day. The next day, go back to working hard. And use that soreness as a guide to knowing that you need to then just take a little bit of time to recover.
Thank you very much. I have listened already to some of your presentations, and normally on your presentations, you are, I wouldn't say you are making jokes about this typical influencers making some fitness trainings and giving fitness advices, but at the end, you are a kind of person on Instagram giving fitness advices right now.
Right now, yeah, for sure.
Could you tell me where the difference is?
I think it's always really important to understand when you're receiving information about training, where that information is coming from and who you're getting that information from. If it's coming from someone online who is in quite good shape and doesn't happen to be a trainer, then look, I mean, take it with a pinch of salt. It's not necessary to say that information is bad, but again, that's what works for them. And that's a very individual thing. And people are individual. You know, we're all different in the way that we get a response to exercise. So again, you know, listening to trainers, not necessarily just, you know, people with degrees, and obviously having a sports science degree and that background gives me a better understanding physiologically of different things, but trainers with really good experience, trainers with really good educations in understanding what happens to the body. You know, listening to someone just, you know, doing their classes or doing their workouts just because they're slim or just because they got big arms, the best way to describe it is it's what worked for them. And I guess in most cases, especially with social media, it's never quite as rosy as it looks. You know, it's always a little bit of a best case scenario. So chances are, if you see someone getting big arms from doing a very gentle exercise, it's probably not how they got big arms. So again, try and get your advice, or my opinion is to get advice from those that have good educations, good experiences, and, you know, can really explain in an individual way what you're trying to achieve.
All right. So your training you can see on Lanzerhof at the Arts Club. I think it's the name of the account, but we will also have it in the show notes. Let's maybe at the end wrap it down to, what are your top 5 tips for keeping fit at home?
I think as a breakdown, the number one thing to do is to create a routine. Setting goals for this process, for this duration. If you haven't done so already, some people have done it. Obviously, we're almost 6 weeks into lockdown now. So, setting goals for this period is a really helpful way of doing it. There are, on the Lanzerhof Instagram page, there is some videos I did on goal setting and using an acronym called CLEAR, something we call CLEAR goals, which are, again, a really good way of setting a process for you. And if you've never done that, again, go and watch that video. We'll make sure that's on the YouTube as well. And again, it's just a good way to start the process, because otherwise it's always a bit aimless, and aimless doesn't really work. I think the second point would always be to try and make home exercise enjoyable and quite inclusive, collaborative, I guess, is a good way to describe it. If you're at home with family, husband, wife, children, brothers, sisters, etc., you know, get them involved. Sometimes just being at home, you know, mentally, this is a really difficult period for everyone to stay positive, to keep on to our goals, and having other people there and having other people be culpable and able to call us out if we're, you know, sitting in bed not doing anything, that can help. So, you know, try and get more people involved into it. I think probably my third point, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier as well, is don't underestimate the value of walking. Even from a pure calorie point of view, if we, you know, our base metabolic rate burns, say, 1,500 calories a day, maybe 1,000, 1,500 calories a day normally, we're changing that. We're doing less. So we need to make sure we are maintaining the levels that we were doing before. We want to try and keep our bodies working in that function. So again, that's going to be a really good way of getting you up and out of bad positions as well, not sitting in chairs for too long, and keeping you active. Drinking water as well, staying hydrated. Again, really key. People sitting at home, you know, people, again, sometimes at desks, people keep a bottle there and they're in good habits. Again, out of that habit, you may find that you're not drinking as much water as normal.
This is what I experience sometimes, because normally I have always some tea on my desk, and when I'm at home, I not sitting at a desk. And so I totally agree. You have a different routine there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a lot of what this is you're trying to create new routines. So it might be that by lunchtime you do that, you have a certain amount, you have a certain amount to drink, or you have a certain, if you have a Barocca in the morning, make sure you tie it every day before 10 o'clock, you have a Barocca, or those types of things, or, get into those habits. And I think one of those important habits is sleep as well. That'd be probably my fifth tip is sleep. Now more than ever, we have a time where people can get their sleep right. More often than not, modern lives, getting up early for commutes, getting home late, working late, gym, etc. People's sleeps are terrible. And that's one of the things as a trainer that I end up having to try and fix almost before we start, is that if you don't have good sleep, your responses to training is really limited, especially for females. It's really, really important for females. It's both male and female, but men are lucky enough to have testosterone, and that's kind of a get out of jail free card for a lot of hormonal functions from a male point of view. Obviously, females' testosterone levels are much, much lower. So they rely on something called human growth hormone to help kind of repair of skin, hair, nails, and also, again, kind of keep hormone function at a good level. We produce that mostly whilst we sleep. So if our sleep habits are poor, then the amount of human growth hormone we produce ends up being low, and then we end up getting less out of it. We can't produce more. We can't repair and rebuild muscle. We're not getting stronger bones, stronger tendons, things like that. So, that would definitely be my 5 points. Create a routine. Get more people involved, make sure you walk a lot, drink plenty of water, and make sure you use this time to get your sleep as perfect as possible.
Excellent. Jason, one question you can see from the statistics that a lot of people are looking for additional trainings at homes, but on the same at the same time, you also see that the sale of alcohol is going up very high. So can you tell me something about this combination? When I'm, for example, having a workout, probably in one of your classes, and afterwards I'm thirsty and drinking a beer or something like that, what does it to my body?
Completely right. Again, from a probably mental health point of view, people might turn to drinking for a bit of relaxation, which, look, it happens. Again, from a training point of view, however, unfortunately, it is a bit of a negative. Obviously, I guess on the first point, alcohol, it is a diuretic. It is going to lead you to be dehydrated. It's going to limit sporting performance. There's plenty of sporting journals out there that kind of explain about what hydration is and how important it is. And you're looking at anywhere, a performance drop of anywhere sort of between sort of 10 and 40, anywhere from 10 up to 40% drop in performance values just from the level of dehydration. So again, if you're drinking alcohol and you're getting dehydrated, that's going to limit what you can do. And if you're, if you're drinking the night before you train, it's going to affect you in the morning, because you're not going to be as hydrated. It's going to take you time. It's going to take a few hours for you to get rehydrated. So if you're training in the morning, definitely don't drink the night before. And if you're planning on training when you've been drinking, that's definitely not a good idea either. Alcohol basically interferes with the way your body makes energy. When you're breaking down alcohol, basically your liver doesn't produce as much glucose, without being kind of overly technical, which means you end up having low blood sugar. Basically affects how you create your energy and how you perform.
All right.
Coordination, dexterity, things like that all gets affected by that.
So you can say at the end, when you have made some exercise, you can't say that this justifies additional alcohol.
No. Again, if you train and then you have a drink, all you're doing is limiting the positive impact the training will have. In terms of how we're using, people are often doing it from a, I guess, as a basic level, as a calorie point of view. People are training so they can have a drink. But that doesn't really work, because if you have a drink, you're taking away the effect that your training is having, and you're not really burning as many calories, and you're certainly not getting the response. So my advice would be to, around your training, not to drink.
My last question is a personal question. You see on Instagram so many trainers recommending burpees, and I have the feeling that there's no workout in the internet without burpees. Could you tell me why they are so popular?
Well, first and foremost, there is one workout that doesn't have burpees, and that will always be my workout. pure and simply, burpees are a really poor exercise. People use them, trainers will often prescribe them because it's a lot of movement and they're difficult. They are a tough thing to do. It's a lot of function to do over and over and over again. And generally when they're taught as sort of a high intensity exercise. And actually doing really, really complex movements in high intensity is really not the point. That's actually not what high intensity interval training is necessarily about. You want to do exercises that you can do well and keep good technique over and over and over again and challenge your physique in the right way, challenge your body in the right way. If you're doing complex movements over and over again, then all you're going to do is end up getting to a point where you're going to do things badly. And that's really not the point. If we're doing burpees, generally you're doing them to get really, really tired. And there's just much better ways of doing it. You can just do push-ups, or you can just do squats, or you can just do jumping. You can even do all three. Just don't combine them together, because you're just going to end up having a poor movement function, which isn't going to get you anything. You're much better off doing three separate exercises, much, much better. You'll get more out of it. And it kind of links back to the point I made earlier about where people are getting information from. Again, generally great, you know, good trainers, well-educated trainers are never going to prescribe them. You're generally going to see that from people that perhaps have done it themselves. And yeah, look, it can work. You might get away with not getting injured. You will burn some calories. So yes, it can help. But for most people, there's just a lot better options out there. So definitely a take-home message from me is that please, you know, don't just do burpees because someone who's slim did them. Try and think about doing good movements and get educated about doing good movements over and over, for sure.
Thank you very much, Jason.
You're welcome.
What is the story of your giraffe?
The story of Bert. Me and my wife were in a zoo. Oh, it must have been, I mean, probably maybe 10 years ago. And they had this giant stuffed giraffe. It must have been, I don't know, 12 feet tall, huge giraffe. And we thought it'd be really awesome to have in the house. We went up and sort of looked at the price tag, and I think it was something like £3,000, which was a little crazy. I think everyone agreed that's a little crazy. So when we came back, we had a quick look online, went on Amazon, of course, you get everything on Amazon, and they had a slightly smaller stuffed giraffe. So we bought that as well. And it just breaks up the room, you know, it's just a nice addition to the room.
Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed it, please leave me a review and subscribe to this podcast. Please stay healthy.